I'd like to first of all read in the book of Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. But then I'd like to turn to Matthew 17. He talked a little about this afternoon, our brother Dick Gorgas, when he was speaking to us. He was speaking about the end of the 16th chapter about discipleship. Now I'd like to read a few verses in the 17th chapter, Matthew 17, verse 1. Then after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. And then passing down the 14th verse, And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on me, my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And then just one other place in 2 Kings chapter 6, 15th verse. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots, a fire round about Elisha. Well, you know, very often a conference like this, when we come together, becomes a time of decision. I look back in my life, and I think one of the biggest tests in my life came when I had been at a conference. I think I was about 16 years old, and it became a time of testing as to just where I was going to stand in the things of God. And it happens this way very often. And that's why I read this passage, Multitudes, Multitudes in the Valley of Decision. When we come together like this with a group of young people, it's like we read there in Matthew, it's a kind of a mountaintop experience to be with so many and to have a nice time and enjoy the fellowship, something that we don't enjoy probably in our own local assemblies, where perhaps there are very few, if any, that we can have this time of fellowship. And we think that just because we have been together on such an occasion that we're going to be able to handle the problems that come in life. We feel strengthened by fellowship and all that. But I believe, dear young people, that we have to learn what
Our brother was talking to us a little bit this afternoon about the importance of being disciples of the Lord Jesus and having a decision that we're going to give Him His rightful place in our lives. That's so important. He has done everything that love could do to win your heart and mind. But there's a great pull, you know. Satan also has many things to offer. And you say, I'm young. I've got to have my fling first and find out. But as I have watched many young people's lives, in having their fling and having what they call their good time, they have perhaps done something that has ruined the rest of their life. And I just want to implore you, when you come together on an occasion like this, that you would let the Lord speak to your heart and remind you of what He's done for you and how worthy He is of your all. In that 17th chapter of Matthew, the Lord was bringing before the disciples in the chapter before the cost of discipleship, the cost of giving their lives to Him. And I'm sure that with all that they were going through, because they had identified themselves with one who was despised and rejected of men, that many of them thought, well, it's nice to talk about these things, but it's just not for me. I just don't think I could handle the difficulties of the path of faith. It's nice to speak about it, but it's just too much for me. The Lord knew what was going on in the hearts of the disciples. And so after He had told them about being disciples and about following Him and putting Him first, He knew, as I said, what was going on in their hearts. And so what did He do? He gave them a view of what was ahead. And that was the thought in Him taking them up into that exceeding high mountain. Perhaps you say an experience that they would never, never forget. Peter speaks of it in his epistle where he says that he had been caught up and he had seen that exceeding glory. And it molded his whole life. And dear young people, that's my desire, that you wouldn't just think of the difficulties of discipleship. It's true. And I believe as time goes on, it may become more difficult because Satan is unleashing all his forces to try and hinder us from putting the Lord Jesus first and giving Him His rightful place. The world is becoming increasingly corrupt, but the Lord is with us. And like the Lord said about this young man, they that are with us are more than they're against us. It says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And I trust I'm speaking to young people who really know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And as I said this afternoon in the meeting, and it has impressed me very much whenever I talk to young people, if you're really saved, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there is a chord in your heart that responds and says, I want to give the Lord His rightful place. No matter what exterior you may put on, no matter how you might be carried away with the things of the world, if you are really saved, you have within you the very life of Jesus, the very life of Christ. And that life responds to His claims because He died for you. He died for me. He shed His blood. We're not our own. We're bought at a great price. And so the Lord knew how difficult it was. And He knows what's ahead of you. It's far harder for you than it was for me, because as the world nears the time when judgment is going to come, things, as the Lord says, will get worse and worse. But the Lord is able to give you the strength to stand. But it says in Proverbs, where no vision is, the people perish. And unless you have before you the thought of coming glory and the wonderful truth of what it will be to look into the face of the Savior who died for you and hear Him say, well done. That'll repay everything you ever did, you ever gave up for Him. That'll repay. And so the Lord was taking them up and giving them a little preview of the kingdom, what was ahead for them. And perhaps they thought that when they had that preview, that that would just stick with them and they would never forget it. But we do forget, don't we, dear young people? We do forget. I forgot, too. You forget. And the world holds out quite an attraction, and they had to come down from the mountain. At the end of 3 days, this happy time of fellowship is going to be over. We're going to come back from town from the mountain. We're going to go back to our jobs. We're going to go back to school. We're going to go back to the meetings where we live, where there's little fellowship, and where there's little to encourage. And you say, it's grand when we're here, but it's so different when you go back. They came down from the mountain, and the first thing they met was a man who was bringing his child to the Lord Jesus and just saw nothing but a hopeless condition. He came to the disciples and he asked the disciples to help them. And it says they couldn't cast him out. And I want to tell you that there's problems going to face you in your life that you cannot face and I cannot face in my own strength. But there is one who is able. There's one who can give you the strength, who can give you the courage, who will stand by you in all of those temptations and trials that you meet, who's promised he will never leave you nor forsake you. And when I was a young boy, a brother said to me, he said, I never asked the Lord to be with me. I just asked him to give me a sense of his presence. And that stuck with me through life. He has promised, dear young people, he'll never leave you nor forsake. He's right there at your side, but perhaps you're not realizing that he's there. The Lord was with those two on the road to Emmaus, but they didn't realize he was there. He was entering into everything. He said, why are you sad? Why are things troubling you? And here it was the Lord himself, the burden bearer, the Savior who had died for them, was right by their side. And I want to tell you, dear young people, if you know Jesus as your Savior, he's right there. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. But you may just try to do it in your own strength. And so these disciples, when the situation arose, and I want to say to you, this greatest test in my life came when I was returning back from meetings just like this many, many years ago. And I found out I didn't have strength of myself for it. But the Lord taught me, not all at once, but he taught me that there was strength in him. Just like the dear apostle could say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so tells us here that when the disciples couldn't help the Lord, help this man in his problem, then he came to the Lord. He came to the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to come to the Lord in the impossible situations of life. We need to say, Lord, as they said, if thou canst help us, have compassion on us and help us. If thou canst help us. Dear young people, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. There isn't anything that he can't help you with. He's living in glory 24 hours a day up there. And he says, let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's living for you up there. And he's just waiting for you to come and say, Lord, it's too much for me. But I want that help that comes from above. And so the Lord did cast the evil spirit out of this young man. And he was given back to his father. And then the disciples came to the Lord Jesus and they said, why could not we cast him out? Perhaps you've often done that. Lord, why couldn't I handle that situation? Why did I not find the strength? Was it not available? Yes, it was available. But the Lord said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And it may be when these meetings are over, you're going to face a situation that you can't handle. And I hope you will come to your extremity and realize that your only resource is in the Lord. And the thought in fasting is not just being without food, although perhaps that's the prime thought. But I believe fasting really means self-denial. And each of us can ask ourselves, is there something in our lives that we're clinging to that's hindering us from saying, Lord, I want to give myself to thee. Little song we sing, gladly to thee, my Savior, I give myself away. And so it says, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And so if you find yourself in that situation and you know what you're going to have to meet perhaps when you go back, or perhaps you don't. But I'm going to tell you that Satan's going to have a trap for you as soon as these meetings are over and you return. He's going to have it. You may think, oh, I've had such a happy time. I really want to live for the Lord. But you can't handle a difficulty in your own strength. And so there needs to be the denial of self. And sometimes I've had to say, perhaps you've had to say, no, Gordon. No, Gordon, that's not for you. And you just have to say no to that old man that's within. I've often said, my body is like a house with two tenants. I've got a tenant inside of my body that wants the world and wants all that's wrong. It's still there. It's never going to change. It doesn't improve when you're saved. But I also have a new tenant. I have the life of Jesus in me, and so have you. If you're saved, you have the life of Jesus. You have power. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Don't say I've built a strong enough character. I can handle this. You can't. Neither can I. But you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so I say again, you've had a lovely experience here coming to the meetings, and I'm sure that many of you have been encouraged just like I was, and being with so many young people to say, oh, this is fun. It was like this all the time. It would be wonderful. But now you have to go back just like they did. They came down from the mountain. Maybe they thought everything was going to be different, but it wasn't. The first thing they met was a problem they couldn't handle. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I just want to encourage you, dear young people, when you think of what the Lord Jesus has done for you, when you think of that abundant entrance that He wants you to, shall I say, come into the glory of His presence with, shall I say, having lived in some little measure with to satisfy and please the One who died for you. You know, I've sometimes said I think of life like wrapping up a parcel for somebody you love. If there's somebody you really love, you listen to them make little comments about things they like, and perhaps when their birthday comes and you think, I want to know what I can give them. And you listen carefully, and then you decide on something that you're going to give them because you've heard them say, oh, that's what I really want. And you have this little parcel, and it's all wrapped up, and you wait for the day and you give it to them. You say, I'm just going to watch their faces when they get that gift, because I heard them say that's what they wanted. And you're just watching them to see their face. Oh, they say, you couldn't have given me anything I like better. And how you're rewarded. Well, dear young people, the Lord Jesus gave Himself for you. And you have the privilege of wrapping up a parcel in your life that you're going to present to the Lord someday when your life is manifested and unwrapped at the judgment seat of Christ. And it'll be worth it all if you hear Him say, oh, you live to please me. I'm just value that life that you sought to live, realizing your own weakness, but you sought to live that life for me. Your life and mine is going to be unwrapped someday. Is it worth it to live for the Lord Jesus? Oh, may the Lord encourage you that you might live your lives for Him. There's only a little while left. His coming is near. Life is short at best. But oh, how wonderful it will be to know that we have sought in our lives by His strength to do what pleased Him. And if there should be anyone here, I say again, as was said in the gospel meeting, why not tonight receive Him as your Savior? There's no better, there's no easier time than to be here with a group of those who love the Lord to say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. And He will. He'll wash your sins away. He'll give you that peace and joy. He'll give you the power to live for Him, a new life in the Holy Spirit, everything you need for life and godliness. Well, the Lord, may the Lord encourage you. It's been so nice to be with you tonight. And I hope that your heart will respond not just to what I have said, but to the claims of the One who loved you and gave Himself for you. Shall we bow our heads?